The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the program. I spoke about this analysis with a friend of the show, Steve Moore, Wall Street Journal columnist and economist, and wanted to get one of the principals of the organization that did the analysis on the show to discuss, because it's interesting. I mean, it confirms some other looks at lockdown policies up until this point. But as we're 6 months in and a couple of lockdowns behind us, and some still really pending in material ways, assessing the policy choice that we made in so many locales and the impacts, the opportunity costs that we are paying, and whether or not those are sensible. The failed experiment of COVID lockdowns. This is an op-ed by Don Luskin, who's the chief investment officer of Trend Macro. Here's the top line of Trend Macro's work. Counterintuitive though it may be, statistical analysis shows that locking down the economy did not contain the disease's spread, and reopening it did not unleash a second wave of infections. That sounds like 0 for 2 to me. Don Luskin, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Great to be here.
So just sort of give us the methodology, how you went about and Trend Macro went about making this analysis.
Well, you want to, whether you're opening up or locking down, you want to find out what people actually did, not just what their masters in government told them to do, right? So we used statistics from Google and Apple and other firms that track cell phone movements to determine who was locking down and sheltering in place and who was actually getting out there and moving around, committing acts of capitalism between consenting adults. So we used those mobility scores to determine whether you were socially distanced or not. And then it's easy enough to find out how many people died of COVID-19 or how many people were infected by COVID-19, and we just compare those. And it turns out that there is no statistical relationship at all between how much you immobilized, how much you locked down, and the degree to which you successfully contained the spread of the disease or deaths from it. And there is also no statistical relationship at all between the degree to which you opened up and the degree to which the virus got out of control. No relationship. In fact, what little relationship there is, because it's always a little, goes the wrong way, goes the unexpected way, where the more you locked down, the worse things were for you. The more you opened up, the better things were for you.
Yeah, you make the point in your piece that the five places with the harshest lockdowns, D.C., New York, Michigan, New Jersey, Massachusetts, had the heaviest caseloads. I'm sure that would come as a surprise to many.
Well, it sure would. And, you know, in my article, I said, well, look, I'll be open-minded and I'll say that, you know, maybe, you know, we're confusing cause and effect, and maybe they put these harsh lockdowns in place because the caseload was so bad. Well, actually not. You can see the timing. You know, you can see when the cases developed, and you can see when the lockdowns went into effect. And I'm afraid that relationship does not exist. So what we have here is a statistical truth. We have science that causes a lot of cognitive dissonance, because people, you know, when you're faced with a, you know, a predator like this virus, it would be nice if you thought there was something you could do about it. And what we've determined is that the things you thought you could do about it didn't help. Now, that's kind of great news in the idea that, well, gee, let's not have another economic depression in a failed attempt to control this thing. But on the other hand, it kind of leaves you weaponless, because, boy, if you can't lock down to control this thing, what can you do?
Well, and just to continue on what you found, and it's the right question you ask, of course, but you talked about the negative correlation to lockdowns, and it made no difference if the analysis includes other potential explanatory factors such as density, population density, age, ethnicity, prevalence of nursing homes, general health, temperature, all of those other variables that we've spent so much time talking about, you suggest are meaningless or at least not statistically significant in explaining away this negative correlation.
Right. So one that people focus on is we know that this disease is harsher on older people, especially older people who have other problems, say obesity or congestive heart disease or diabetes, something like that. And so shouldn't it be statistically that states that have older people on average, and the oldest average state in the United States happens to be Maine, just in case you were wondering, shouldn't they have a worse experience? Well, no, because what I'm checking for is that given how old your population was, did it help to lock down? And the statistical analysis tells you that among places with lots of old people, it didn't help to lock down.
Now, was this, since you were looking at mobility data and so forth, was that a function of the impact in terms of people that were more mobile? So, because one of the arguments made initially about lockdowns in general was this is and what we know about how the virus spread mainly through households. Well, you're right. You're having sustained exposure to somebody who's infected. That spreads the virus in a way that you being out in a park with a bunch of people doesn't. So maybe the less mobile and the more locked in, the more likely the spread.
Could be. Sure. Why not? But the thought experiment that people do in their minds is they imagine, what if everybody for a month could just lock himself in his own personal little hazmat capsule?
Right.
And I guess if you could take it that far, I guess that would work. It's just that we live in a real world where there's always going to be something that no matter how locked down you are, even if you're Wuhan, you never get that far. So, you can say what you want about these idealized experiments, but like many things, we have to live in the real world. And when government has these sort of utopian fantasies, but then has to force it down on people in the real world, it rarely works.
And I want to emphasize the point. So the first spike in the lockdowns in April, March into April, but then you also looked at the recent spike in cases in July and the lockdowns that were instituted in response to that under political pressure.
Oh, this is the really tragic part because back in February and March when we didn't know what this thing was and it was supposed to be so lethal, and there were people who seriously believed maybe it was a Chinese bioweapon. Maybe it was just a better part of valor to say do no harm and lock down just in case this was a weapon of mass destruction. But once we learned that it wasn't, well, we should have opened up as quickly as possible. And different states made different decisions about how to do that. And in our highly politicized media environment, states with Republican governors got blamed for opening up more, opening up sooner. And statistically, it's not particularly true that they did that. A state like Florida and Texas didn't really open up any faster than anybody else. But they got blamed for, every case that happened after April. Well, Governor Abbott here in my home state of Texas, had to wear the blame for that because he supposedly opened up too soon. Well, number one, he didn't open up any sooner than anyone else. Number two, the statistical correlation isn't there. There's no difference between whether you opened up and whether you didn't in terms of your cases or your deaths.
He is Don Luskin, the chief investment officer of Trend Macro. I will tweet out because I think people will be interested to read this if you haven't, his piece in the Wall Street Journal on his analysis. Don, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
It's been you.
Podcast of the show at danproftshow.com.